Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Listen to KMOX anytime, anywhere. Download the radio.com app today.
I have a confession. I'm addicted to the news.
You know I'm totally off script right now.
Journalism is cool again, and you have endless content, let's be honest.
And this is how I got elected, by being off script.
Now, Mark Reardon.
I've seen people almost go to the bathroom in their pants in his presence.
On St. Louis's News Radio, KMOX.
Well, here we are. It's winter in St. Louis already, which is kind of frustrating. It's really blowing out there. And if you look at the, we're supposed to get Steve Templeton on here in a couple of minutes. You look at the temperatures, they're basically dropping every hour by 1 degree. It's a nice little pattern if you like cold weather, and it'll go down to about 14 degrees by the time you wake up tomorrow morning. Now, the snow is not significant, but let's face it. Here in St. Louis, we pride ourselves on not being able to drive in even the... the smallest amount of snow or drizzle, it simply is something that's beyond us. So even the mention of snow, I think, freaks people out and gets them to be on the highways in a way that they cannot drive, which is unfortunate, but it's the reality of living in this city. I hope everyone had a great weekend. We are loaded up today with a bunch of stuff. Brian Kilmeade is on the show a little bit later this hour. He's got a brand new book out called Sam Houston and the Alamo Avengers. We didn't used to have Brian on as much because... He is on 97.1, which was a competitor, but of course now in the Entercom family, so not as bent out of shape on those things. So Brian's coming up. Selena Zito, my friend, who's a columnist from the New York Post and the Washington Examiner, and she wrote actually a great piece in the Wall Street Journal today about the mayor of Pittsburgh and some of the things that he's doing. Bill Peduto is the guy's name. I've had him on this show years ago, and I told Selena, I thought Bill was kind of a moderate, but he's not. And what he's doing is sort of a microcosm of what I think the Democrats are challenged with across the country when it comes to Donald Trump and reelection hopes. So that's coming up. And we have Ridley Pearson, best-selling author, and Meg Cabot is partnering up. She did The Princess Diaries. So a couple of big names here in the next hour on KMOX. Let me get to something that I'm pretty sure most of you have not heard about because it wasn't covered on any of the Sunday morning shows or anything like that. And this has to do with the Amy Robach story that broke last week. This audio that came out from August when she was talking about Jeffrey Epstein.
3 years. I've had this interview with Virginia Roberts. We would not put it on the air. First of all, I was told, who's Jeffrey Epstein? No one knows who that is. This is a stupid story. Then the palace found out that we had her whole allegations about Prince Andrew and threatened us a million different ways.
All right, so she went on. She even said this. If I can get it to play.
So do I think he was killed? 100%. Yes, I do. Because do you want to... He made his whole living blackmailing people. There were a lot of men in those planes, a lot of men... who visited that island, a lot of powerful men. Who-
so, of course, they put this, they brushed it under the rug last week at ABC, nothing to see here. It's just one of those moments that happen. Amy Robach kind of falls in line. But then, lo and behold, Megyn Kelly, who is, I guess, technically unemployed, she left with millions of dollars from her Today Show gig. What a great deal that was, right? Well, she's doing some blogging and some vlogging, if you will, a video blog. She had Ashley Bianco on. Ashley Bianco is the reporter that allegedly was the whistleblower that released this tape. Tape goes out, who did it? Well, it was an ABC employee. But then we find out it's an ABC employee that now works for CBS. Even though she now works for CBS, CBS decided to fire her. She says she didn't do it. Here she is with Megyn Kelly.
Did you leak the tape?
I did not.
Not to anyone?
No,
never. At any time?
No.
Did you make a clip of the moment?
I did, but I saved it in the internal system.
So what was your job at ABC?
I was a crash producer.
Okay, so a producer.
Yeah.
And you were in the control room when Amy made those comments?
I wasn't in the control room, but I was watching the comments while I was at my desk. And I had seen what she was saying, and I went to my manager and I said, you know, do you see what she's saying? Does she know that she's on a hot mic? The assistant said to us that that Amy knew she was on a mic and that she knew she was being broadcasted to all the affiliates.
Right, so this is a moment where she's off the air, she's doing taped promos, mm-hmm. but she has a mic on and people can see and hear her.
Yeah, yeah. Something Megyn Kelly is very familiar with. So you'll hear Rush say, flag the tape, and I'll say that to Dave. Sometimes we have archive tape that we keep for a variety of reasons. Dave Klein did tell me earlier when we were discussing this story, he's got quite a bit of info on me. I mean, seriously, I wish I was even joking about this. If my producers wanted to get rid of me, they could do it like that, snap of a finger. And believe me, they've given thought to it. Fred's like, yeah, you know what? I think he's right about that. We could end his career instantaneously. Just hoping they don't do that. So she clipped the tape. She saved the tape. She kind of marked it.
So what made you, what did you do? You clipped the moment? You sort of marked the moment in the system?
Yeah, I just clipped it off. I essentially marked it in the system. It never left the system. We do it all the time.
Did you tell the manager that you had clipped it?
I did not.
Did you think it was newsworthy, what she was saying?
Everyone in the office was freaked out by what she was saying, and everyone was watching it.
So the purpose for clipping it was what, to watch it back later?
Yeah, watch it back later. You know, I did it just for office gossip, you know?
Mm-hmm. Was there any intention to embarrass her?
No, not at all.
Or ABC?
No, I would never. You know, the 3 years I've spent at ABC, I've loved my time there. You know, I'm a good employee. I've worked 7 days a week. You know, I loved my job.
These are, especially for someone like her, these are low-level positions, and you're answering to big-name talent who are making millions of dollars. And then she admits that she clipped it, but says she insists she did not let that out. So let me see here, because I got to cut to the chase here. What she wants from ABC and CBS. Again, she says, Ashley Bianco says, that's not me. I didn't do this.
Wasn't me. I'm not the whistleblower. I'm sorry to ABC, but the leaker's still inside. You know, it's not, I never did any of that. I may have accessed it, but I never leaked it. I never showed it to anyone. I didn't talk about the situation outside the company.
And when you say the leaker's still inside, do you have any suspicions about who actually may have leaked it?
This is something that everyone saw.
Is that right? So it was a talked about moment.
Yeah, it was definitely that whole day. Everyone, you know, was talking about it, was running around, you know, taking videos of it.
So do you regret clipping that moment now?
I do. Had I known, I would have never clipped it. I didn't do anything wrong. I didn't do anything. I didn't leak it. Anyone else could have clipped it off.
Even James O'Keefe has come out now saying you are not the leaker, that you were not the insider who gave this to him. What do you think should happen to the insider, and what do you hope they'll do now?
If they find the insider, right?
You know, I just want my career back. You know, I want people to know I didn't do it, you know? That's all I want.
Well, look, I don't know if she did it or not. Sounds like she didn't do it, but if she really didn't do it, her career probably is over in television because she'll be tagged with that. So it's unfortunate. We'll see if anybody comes forward or if they keep trying to track this down. You would at least, at the very least, think that ABC would want to right the wrong and get rid of the person who maybe did leak it.
You're listening to The Mark Reardon Show.
When you're out of my sight, you must constantly Twitter me exactly what you're up to.
Follow Mark on Twitter at Mark Reardon, KMOX.
Selena Zito back with me this afternoon. Her book, by the way, we've been talking about this for a long time. That's how I met her in the first place. The Great Revolt Inside the Populist Coalition Reshaping American Politics comes out in paperback tomorrow. Is that correct, Selena?
That is correct. And not only is it a great way to understand who actually is in this conservative populist coalition that put President Trump in the White House, outside of sort of the stereotypes that my profession tends to tag people who voted for Trump. Honestly, it's complicated, and that's why I think the Great Revolt's important. But it also has updates about what happened in 2018, what that really means those election results and what to look for in 2020.
So did you see, I played a little audio last week from a bunch of voters, independent voters, maybe in Pennsylvania that they had on CNN, kind of women who, you know, who were kind of reflecting on what they thought right now of Trump and the election. Did you notice that at all or pay attention to that?
I'm sorry, I missed it.
No, that's okay. But look, you know this topic better than they did. But I think the bottom line, my takeaway was, you know, we've heard the suburbs are lost, and maybe they are. Certainly here in St. Louis, we had a result last week that indicated that a lot of people may be even pushing more against Trump, suburban women in particular. But look, the states that matter, your state, Pennsylvania. So before we get into, and some of this ties in with the column that you wrote for the Wall Street Journal, and I had asked you before about Bill Peduto. He's the mayor of Pittsburgh, because I had Bill on the program many years ago when I went to Pittsburgh for a Cardinals series and really, really liked the city. And I thought, well, what are you doing in Pittsburgh, you know, compared to St. Louis? So we had a great conversation, and I think I brought that up to you at one point because I thought he was more of a moderate. But Bill Peduto is not a moderate, is he?
No. No, he is not a moderate. And in all fairness to the mayors that came before him, that the ones who put in place what's happening now, that would be Bob O'Connor, Tom Murphy, Luke Ravenstahl, all Democratic mayors. They're actually the ones that set the stage for what we are experiencing right now. Bill Peduto is not a moderate. In fact, he enraged not only his closest political Democratic ally, Rich Fitzgerald, but also the unions and the CEOs in Pittsburgh last week, when he said that he was not going to allow any new petrochemical plants to come to Pittsburgh. A petrochemical plant, there's one coming that's being built right now. It's set to employ over the next 10 years. Right now it's at 6,000. It should peak out at 10,000. These are very good paying jobs. And it will permanently employ 600 people directly at the cracker plant, with experts believing that it'll at least be three times that downstream from the plant. Exxon is looking to build another one out there, which would then make the employment even better. And these aren't just blue-collar jobs. These are chemists, they're geologists, they're IT people, they're engineers, mechanical and chemical. Shale has fundamentally changed, the industry has fundamentally changed the economic prosperity of Western Pennsylvania. And he said he's not going to allow any. Well, there's not one. There's not any chemical, petrochemical plants in Pittsburgh. And he's only the mayor of Pittsburgh, which is sort of 1/8 of the population within Western Pennsylvania.
So the reason this becomes important, and just for folks sort of following along here, is that you think, and I think that there are examples of this on the national scene too, that this is a bit of a microcosm of what's happening nationally with the Democrats.
Yeah, absolutely. That there is no room for moderate, more pragmatic Democrats within the Democratic Party. And so they have two places to go on election night. They're either going to stay home because the current crop of Democratic challengers have said that they would ban fracking on day one, everyone except Joe Biden. And so these voters are either going to stay home. They might not vote for Trump, or they are going to turn around and vote to Trump just to show their party that they're tired of being pushed out by the left leaning candidacies of the national party.
I don't understand. And you even feature a quote in here from the guy who's the county executive from Allegheny County. Look, and I tried to get this guy on even last week. Richard Muller's a physicist from Berkeley, and he wrote a piece years ago about climate change relating to tornadoes. Sort of, even though he believes in man-made climate change, he thought this nonsense, and it's happening even with the wildfires now and the hurricanes, how climate change is intensifying all this stuff. Look, he is a believer in man-made climate change, but he was trying to put things into perspective. He also told me this, that the biggest contributor to lowering CO2 emissions in this country is fracking.
Absolutely. It is. It has brought down the CO2 emissions in this country by, I don't have the story right in front of me. I think it's 40 to 50%.
Yeah.
That's because we're not getting our energy from dirty coal. It's coming from natural gas, and it is cleaner, it's safer, and we're in a better place because of shale.
So why is a guy like Bill Peduno, why do the Democrats have this disconnect, do you think, when an election might be on the line next year?
Well, you know, I mean, Peduno represents a very, I mean, I forget the amount of people that showed up to vote for him. These elections are decided in primaries because Republicans
yes.
tend to not run. And I think he won by 13,000 votes. You know, people are not inspired to show up because there's not really any competition. And so when you have that small portion of the people show up, when there's 2.8 million people that live in the region, they aren't very representative of the sentiment of the people in the country.
Hey, that sounds like a city that I know, like St. Louis. So we're very familiar with that. Selena Zito is with me. Her book, by the way, The Great Revolt, Inside the Populist Coalition, Reshaping American Politics, which really nailed it on what happened in 2016, is out in paperback tomorrow. All right, let's get your thoughts on impeachment here and the blank show that's about to happen here for the next few months.
He'll get impeached in the House. Like 99.9%, and it will die in the Senate. And it's not just because of Republicans. You are going to see Democratic U.S. senators who are not going to support the impeachment.
So
that's the thing that nobody's talking
about.
Yeah,
and I think you're right about that. But how do you think it affects the Democrats running for president in the Senate? A couple of ways, because look, if they're trying to get their message through in the next couple of months, it's going to be difficult to do that. But how do you think that sort of works itself out relating to impeachment?
They don't really want this to happen. This is not, they want to run sort of on what their platform is, and this makes them narrow that binary choice to about, do you think, you know, I mean, look, the problem for the Democrats is the first headline on the Washington Post on the day the day that the president was inaugurated was, now the impeachment begins. And a lot of people, I mean, people don't who don't necessarily care for Trump's comportment have found this incredibly insufferable and unfair to see this happen to someone who they believe legitimately was elected, didn't vote for him. And the other thing I think is really important that I think we tend to forget, and this is one of the polling data that's in the Great Revolt, is that 34% of Trump voters did not tell a family friend or a member of their family or a friend that they were going to vote for him. So I'm always sort of skeptical of what the national story is about how this election is going to go, because people don't tell pollsters, they don't tell their family, and I think that 34% number is going to jump, because 2016 honestly seems like an Ozzie and Harriet episode as compared to what we are going through right now.
Yeah, that's interesting. I guess maybe I did not remember that 34%. That's a significant number, and certainly one to watch as we head into 2020. Selena, thanks so much for coming on. The book's out in paperback tomorrow. We'll have you back again soon. And by the way, I should toss this in. How about those Steelers? They're on a bit of a roll.
They are on a bit of a roll. I mean, if you would have looked at us 6 weeks ago, you would have been like, yeah, 0-3. Ben is out? Yeah, I don't think so. But they have managed to, you know, sort of punch above their weight class in terms of what people's expectations of them were, and to be pretty close to being in the play,
They got a shot. Look, Mike Tomlin's never had, I think this is interesting, and I remember this stat from a few weeks ago, he's never had a losing season, and I think a lot of experts thought, well, he's going to have one this year, and it doesn't look like it.
Nope. First year as coach, went to the Super Bowl. Oh, and they won.
All right. And then there was that Packers Super. I tend to like the Packers Super Bowl better.
That was too soon.
All right. Take care. I appreciate it, Selena.
Thanks, bye.
Hey, Cardinals fans, your spot for everything Redbirds this offseason is KMOX. From the hot stove show to the winter meetings in San Diego to winter warm-up, the Cardinal Caravan, then 2020 spring training in Jupiter. Your home for everything Cardinals is KMOX.
There is something going on social media today that is the very definition of fake news when it comes to the president, how people misrepresent things that he said. And I'm going to get to that. It's rather stunning, but maybe it won't surprise many of you. We'll get to that a little bit later this afternoon. We are joined by Fox & Friends co-host Brian Kilmeade. He's got a new book out called Sam Houston and the Alamo Avengers. Been on before. It's been a while. Brian, how are you?
It's a pleasure to be on. Thanks so much for doing this.
You know, it's funny. I have had you on, but it's been a few years. But we had a couple of year period where, you know, I would want to have you on. And then I was that competitor, you know, across the city, 97.1, because you do a show on there. Well, we brought them all into the family here. We're all in the same building. So it's no longer a competition. We're all in the family, Brian Kilmeade. So that affords me the opportunity to have you on, which I'm excited about.
Yeah, two great stations. I mean, I've heard about you guys from the day I put on the radio. So it's a thrill to be on. I'm glad everybody's on the same page. I know one thing. I love St. Louis, and I'm thrilled you guys are getting a soccer team.
Yeah, that's pretty exciting. Look, I'm not even – I'm married to a woman who played collegiate soccer, and I've worked with a guy years ago who's a Manchester United fan, and he drove me crazy. I'm not the biggest soccer fan on the planet, but I'm still excited about this. It's great for the city.
Yeah, what I think is happening, maybe, 10 years ago, I'd be like, well, you know, MLS, soccer, who cares? What happened is the reason why you guys are going to sell out and sell St. Louis is a great soccer city is because now you get non-soccer fans, sports fans following it. Like if I go to a football game, I don't know how many football players in the stands. If I go to a baseball game, how many baseball players in the stands? For the longest time, the only people who ever want to see soccer games are soccer players.
Yep, that's
so
a good point.
Now you got normal sports fans. You know, it's never going to be as big as the Cardinals. I get it. But I think you're going to be shocked at the sense of pride that starts almost instantly.
No, look, I'm considering buying season tickets because I think it's fun. And I have a little girl who's been playing soccer. So we're excited about it here and watching it all come together. So I mentioned in the intro here the amount of books that you've written, history books. How does Brian Kilmeade, you know, kind of settle on a piece of American history? In this particular case, I think, and I'm speaking for myself, who wasn't the best student, we know Sam Houston. We've heard the phrase, remember the Alamo, but we don't really know the specifics about what went down.
I appreciate the question, and that's my goal. My goal was, I knew Washington, Jefferson, and Jackson were such huge names, they get people's interest. But Sam Houston, I had to let people know right away, it's not regional, it's not about Texas, it's about the country. I mean, born in Virginia, raised in Tennessee, his name, you know, becomes governor of Tennessee, becomes a congressman first, becomes a war hero, wounded three times in the same battle, somehow survives. And then after all these years of great courage and leadership and ups and downs and drinking too much and bad marriages and living with Indians, becoming the first American Indian, you know, a prominent American who was going for American Indian rights. He's always had his eye on Texas. Andrew Jackson, his mentor, always thought Texas came to the Louisiana Purchase. So as did Jackson and Jefferson. So when he never thought it belonged to the Spain and then would turn into Mexico an independent state, they couldn't populate it anyway. So when it was time for Mexico to decide, well, we're going to take away this freedom and liberty, it was time to fight. And with Crockett, William Barry Travis, and Jim Bowie, and this Texas army led by Sam Houston, it was destined to be a big deal. It was like the most famous men in America reported for duty. And everyone thinks, well, the Alamo, everyone lost for the way they fought. I get it. The valor is incredible. That's why these statues exist everywhere and people always know what it's about. But what happened before and after is unplowed ground. And it's the miraculous victory that happens months later, which I think is going to hook people.
So who were these troops? Who were these guys that were fighting for Texas independence?
Well, that's a great question because these were Americans who go to Texas, tough as nails. They basically showed up with a gun and a rake. And they said, I need some land. I need some protection. I want a fresh start. Whether they were, I don't know, trying to beat bankruptcy, trying to beat a bad marriage, running from the law, just wanted a fresh start. Well, you know, everybody had a different story. But in the end, the story would be about Sam Houston heading at the right time. With everybody else, watching, was able to put his troops together and train them in the middle of a war. And they were able to train in the middle of a war and somehow, in a matter of months, at the right to point, shaping the battlefield, take on the standing Mexican army and defeat him for the most part in 18 minutes.
Was it a legitimate issue that Texas would not be annexed into the Union, that they might be a sovereign state?
It was for 9 years. They were their sovereign state. It was a free slave state thing. And they weren't going to take on the political ramifications of it. They also wanted to prove once and for all that this was not a big setup by Andrew Jackson to grab Texas. This is their idea. So if they go out and they annex it right away, they go, this is a government plot. They used a bunch of mercenaries to do it. But it took them to 9 years navigating the politics of it to actually pull this off.
Brian Kilmeade, who is the co-host of Fox and Friends, his new book is called Sam Houston and the Alamo Avengers. And Brian, hang in there. I want to talk about impeachment and some of that stuff going on inside the swamp when we return on KMOX.
St. Louis's traffic station, KMOX.
Kilmeade is my guest. His book is called Sam Houston and the Alamo Avengers, The Texas Victory that Changed American History. It's out right now. Let's get your thoughts a little bit on. And I'm about to bleep myself because I've said the S word on the radio a couple times in the last year and had. I've never done this before. I don't know if you've ever had this. Have you ever had to dump yourself when you're doing your radio show?
They don't give me controls of anything.
that might be a smart thing. Yeah.
They let me have a swoosh. They let me have the swoosh between stories. And I find it, I said, you know what, just do it yourself.
Here's why I bring it up. Let me explain. So I've said the word bat blank, and I've said the S word twice. You can guess who I've talked about. It's AOC and that crowd. But what I've been referring to impeachment as is that S word, the blank show. So your thoughts about what we're, and I'll use the word endure, what we're about to endure here in the next couple of months.
Well, it's unscripted, so we love that, being in our business. You love talk because you have no idea what the callers are going to say, perhaps. You don't know what you're going to say, but there's no script in front of you. You know your thoughts. That's what I love about talk radio. Well, now, with there was so much at stake, we have everyone testifying. We know what they said already. And Republicans have been plotting and planning how to get them to people to see more of the story and to see that there's another side to this whole thing. And I think the counter volley by Radcliffe, and now we think Jim Jordan's going to be in there, it's going to make this whole thing pretty intriguing. So I actually do not, my fundamental thing, this is what I take away from. You might not like his policy. You don't like the way he does things. We all know where everybody stands. But it's not impeachable. When you have Nikki Haley saying, I hear it. I had Ken Starr on today. He's like, listen, I don't love this policy, but this doesn't rise to impeachment. And it had to be so embarrassing for them to have this vote and have not one Republican see their side and have two Democrats jump ship. So yeah. that shows you that this is a partisan exercise. And I am surprised by a guy as controversial as Donald Trump. He still has the Republicans on his side, willing to go to bat for him. And I think that says a lot about people want to portray him as crazy and they're trying to overthrow him from the inside. And he has 90% approval of Republicans and a time in which they could jump ship and people might, and the media is cheering him on to do that. They stand strong.
Yeah,
you're talking about not five. This is Ron Johnson who's standing strong, not the typical, Freedom Caucus.
Well, I think it's a textbook example of their overplaying their hands. I don't know if you've ever had, you probably have had Selena Zito on, although I think she's a CNN contributor, but she wrote this book, The Great Revolt, was on earlier this hour. And one of the things that she talked about was in relation to this, and you heard the president talk about this, this is smart PR strategy. You can go back to right after the election with the headlines about how they're going to start impeachment. That the American people are pretty smart when it comes to those things. They like to call it like they see it. So that's not going to play well with the electorate, even if they don't admit that it's not playing well.
I think that if it goes the way the testimony reads, and no one's read it, I read the Mueller report, but no one read the testimony. Everyone listening right now, everyone's got a life. They're not going to read testimony behind closed doors. But if you read the testimony, and I read a lot of it, you see the other side scoring with not like, aha, you're lying, but wait a second, you didn't hear that yourself, right? So you're just assuming, right? So you heard from somebody else, correct. And what do you believe? Something different. Yes. So could this be that it's different from your policy and that's where the objection starts, quiet. So you're going to hear that. I don't think you're going to see the pounding theatrics because the subjects are, these are credible State Department people. This is not Michael Cohen from the streets of Brooklyn or Corey Lewandowski, a street brawler. You're going to see people treated with respect, but you could say to a lieutenant colonel, Colonel, is it true that the Ukrainians were reached directly to you for influence of the last two administrations? Could it be true, sir, that you were born in Ukraine and her proclivity for things that you are Ukrainian-centric, even though you're truly, you bleed red, white, and blue? And for people who say I'm going to be intimidated by the lieutenant colonel's uniform, do they ever watch John McCain question the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff? Do you ever watch Hillary Clinton question General David Petraeus? If you're worried about lawmakers perceived not to have respect for the uniform, your outrage should have started years ago.
And you're talking about Alexander Vindman, right?
Yes.
You know, obviously, there's been some pushback on criticizing a guy like Vindman from, you know, this from certain parts of the media as well.
See, listen, he's probably a great guy. He disagrees with the president. Has anyone seen the president lately? You ever watch an episode of The Apprentice? He spends his life getting leverage. So he's telling these guys, do what you were elected to do. And let's be honest, I don't care how the Republicans play it. We know exactly what happened. He is fascinated and angered by what happened with the Ukrainians in 2016. He feels like nobody's getting to the bottom of it. He knows the Mueller report, he feels, exonerated him, or he's no longer really under the scrutiny from that. So he says, listen, now I want to go back and find out what's going on. And this new guy keeps calling me. So, hey, yeah, tell him I'll see him, but tell him to find out what's going on. I'm really curious about this guy, if this Obama administration was attacking me and if it came from there. Because there's incredible sources, including Ken Vogel of the New York Times, said some hits did come from the Ukraine. The president also listened to Paul Manafort. The president also listened to Rudy Giuliani. Would you and I have done that? Maybe not. I also couldn't have won an election. So he goes in there and goes, find out what's going on. Now, would an experienced politician with Henry Kissinger by his side have done that? No,
right.
But with a businessman who makes up his own rules and at 72 years old going to change his ways? No. Does it mean he's throwing the security of the country in the industry? No. It's the same thing he did with the Triangle countries when they were blitzing our border. You're not cracking down. I'm not giving you a check. Hey, Pakistan, you're not cracking down on those terrorists. You're not getting aid from us. Boom. That's the way he works.
Yeah, look, I'm not even a big Trump fan, certainly not for his behavior, but I think you've called it down quite appropriately. But if you have Trump derangement syndrome, you're not going to see that narrative at all. Brian Kilmeade, I'm running. You know how this goes. I'm going to get yelled at by the boss for going too long here. Sam Houston and the Alamo Avengers, always great to have you back now that we're non-competitors, if you will, with 97.1. We'll have you back again. Thanks, Brian.
I appreciate you calling. Thanks so much.
Brian Kilmeade with us, the co-host of Fox and Friends on KMOX. You know, just as we were doing that interview and I had my producer, Dave Klein, sort of find this, I saw some tweets this afternoon. Actually, and I won't out the person, I'm generously not outing a friend of mine, although it is on Twitter, who retweeted something about the president and in his Veterans Day remarks today. And the remarks were this, something along the, well, I can tell you exactly what it was. He basically said, this has to be fake. This isn't real life. It's deep fake, or I'm in static warp bubble. Maybe you're all crazy. It's not me, it's you. Now, the person who tweeted originally took it down because it was wrong. The bottom line is here's the clip that they were tweeting out. Millions of people have retweeted this by this point.
You can shoot me, but you'll have to kill us all. Something.
Now, it's Veterans Day. Let me play that to you again. Just think about this for a second, because I think a lot of you are pretty smart out there. And all it would have taken is just to listen to this closely.
You can shoot me, but you'll have to kill us all. Something.
He was not talking about himself. He was telling the story of a World War II soldier. And that has been completely misrepresented, sent out all across Twitter. It's the very definition of fake news. And people on the right get this tag all the time. And I think it's irresponsible. I've told this story before. Someone who, a wife of a friend of mine, posted something during 2016 that was about Hillary Clinton. It was completely fake. And the the post said, I don't know if this is real. Look, if you don't know it's real, then don't post it. If you can't use your brain to determine that it's part of a story and it's not something that the president said, don't post it, because that's reckless and irresponsible. But now, most people don't even know that that's fake because they saw the tweet. Second hour of the show. Coming up on KMOX.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.